A5, number 19B.
All right, so these would be exercises. They are very simple. Each one can write them down as a model of to develop through and elaborate through the synonyms. This is the work of each one to do, if he wants it to do. And that brings us then to a different kind of practice. What happened, and I touch now on a completely new subject, what happens then is that through these exercises we change, so to say, our standpoint from metaphysics to the standpoint of science. This is the subject I want to talk about for the rest of the day. That in the measure, see, that we do these exercises, we take ourselves away from a human standpoint, from human thinking, or from going out from the human and to think about God and its ideas. Because to think about God and to think about ideas is actually only metaphysics. It is not yet science. And so I want to bring out first the difference between the metaphysical approach and the approach from the standpoint of science. This difference has never been brought out really clearly in the movement, and mostly people are working along a metaphysical line. Actually, it is due, I would say, to Bicknell Young and so, that the first gleams of the science standpoint came in. And the difference between metaphysics and science is defined very simply by John Dorley in one of his latest or last reports. He said, we just can make a mental note of that, metaphysics is the contemplation of ideas. Science is the contemplation of the Infinite One, including all ideas. I repeat, metaphysics is the contemplation of ideas. Science is the contemplation of the Infinite One, including all ideas. You can see what the difference is. It is a difference of standpoint. In metaphysics, the standpoint is the thinking subject as a human person contemplating ideas. We contemplate ideas. Metaphysics is that realm which comes after physics. Aristotle coined that term metaphysics because he wrote a textbook on physics, and then he added at the end another chapter and put into that little chapter all what he knew about things that have to do besides the realm of physics. So he didn't quite know how to put it after he had been talking about physics. So he said, now I talk about the things that come after physics. And he called it metaphysics. Meta can mean after or above, that which is outside the realm of physics. So, metaphysics is that realm which contemplates the mental realm, which tries to see what are the mental causes behind the physical realm. and therefore investigate that mental realm that is above or after the physical. So when one considers something metaphysical, one is asking about the ideas ruling in a situation, those non-visible forces, non-physically tangible forces that are at work. That's the metaphysical realm. In Christian Science, we would say that the realm of ideas are really the realm of metaphysics. And now the question is, who contemplates these ideas? Who is aware of these ideas? Are we aware of them? Or is God aware of them? Or is being aware of them? And as long as we think that we have to be aware of them, it is metaphysics. We contemplate ideas, just as we have done nearly all through this week. We have been contemplating ideas, making exercise with ideas, blending with ideas, always thinking about ideas. So that the moment we feel we are thinking about God, about the synonymous term, about ideas, we are always at the point of metaphysics. We still are outside of that one being and contemplate the realm of ideas. Now, we know that this is not reality, because in reality there is no human mind thinking about ideas. That reality consists of the seventh synonymous term, therefore of the divinely subjective mind, the one mind minding mind, the one mind being aware of ideas. Therefore it is mind knowing the ideas and not we knowing the ideas. See, all that which says, well, you should know the truth is metaphysics. We should know what we apparently do not know, namely the truth. So it's apparently a not knower that should know. This is still metaphysics. In being there is no such a thing that there is a not knower who has to learn how to know. In being there is the divine mind knowing itself. And that is science. That is the standpoint of science. Therefore, the moment consciousness goes out from the synonymous terms and is aware of how the synonymous terms are aware, then we really have taken the standpoint of science. Science, where mind is its own interpreter. In science, where the universe has to be interpreted through principle and from principle, and not through us and from us. So only when we have really found that exercise, our natural state of being, where we have seen mind idea is my awareness, is my being, where we feel that mind being, mind idea is my being, is the only I, is the only I am. Well, spirit being is the only I am, the only awareness. Only when we have touched that point in consciousness, we have touched science. We have touched the standpoint of science from where we are now looking out. Actually, not we are looking out, but mind knows what it knows. Therefore, Mr. Dolick defined it and said, science is the contemplation of the Infinite One. There we have to be a bit careful. We can naturally read that sentence in two ways. We can read it in the sense that science is our contemplation of the Infinite One. But he didn't say our contemplation of the Infinite. He meant It's the infinite one contemplating, including its own ideas, contemplating on its own ideas. Can you see the touch? So that the we and our human mind and our human thinking and our human awareness does no more enter, but where consciousness through those exercises has attained the level of signs of the synonymous term, and the synonymous term begin to operate as I am, as am-ness. That's another one, huh? See, the synonymous term are now the I am, and therefore operate as beingness, am-ness, huh? Beingness, is-ness. And that's the infinite one contemplating its own ideas. So, when we have the seven synonymous terms, we can really use them in practice, in our practical application, in two ways, each one of them. We can either approach them metaphysically or see them from the point of view of science. You see that? We can think about mind. That would be what? Metaphysics, huh? Or we can have the awareness of mind, knowing its ideas. That would be the standpoint of science, huh? Yes. So whenever one goes out from the synonymous term, one is in science. As long as one looks at the synonymous term and thinks about the synonymous terms, it's metaphysics. So what we want to do is we take the synonymous terms and we look at them each time either from metaphysics or from science. When I state, for instance, I start with mind, when I say, for instance, that we think about God, let's think about ideas. That's very positive. That's very good. Because it is an appeal not to think along the line of illusions, not to think along of opinions, but to say we discipline now our thinking into thinking only along ideas, those list of ideas which we have learned, so that there is a discipline that in which thought is directed constantly in the way of ideas. So that has a very positive effect, because thought then is no more thinking along illusions, along beliefs, and therefore such thinking should have a positive effect, because we know that thinking has always an effect. And if we think positively, it has a positive effect. If we think negatively, it has a negative effect. So thinking along metaphysical lines is not bad, or is not something that we shouldn't do under no circumstance, but is something that we have to value, and that is perhaps in many ways our only possibility under certain circumstances, just to think rightly, to think along ideas and have good effects. What would that be? Is this science or is this metaphysics? It's metaphysics, huh? What then would be the standpoint of science in this case? That anyway, changing the basis always, but here in the, what would be the science aspect on this metaphysical point? We think about ideas. What is then the science aspect of it?
We are the ideas.
I am the ideas.
We are the idea. That's still metaphysics, huh?
You have to go up to the synonym itself.
Yeah, and then what is the? How would it then see? What would you see then? Instead.
The I amness.
It's how mind sees itself.
Mind knowing itself, huh? That's the fact about it. That's the scientific, exact scientific count, would you say, counter statement or right statement, huh? Instead, me knowing, me thinking about ideas, it's mind knowing. It can't think, huh? Mind can't think, huh? The scientific fact about thinking is knowing, huh? Mind knowing its ideas. Do you see that? That would be science. So both are good, but the one is much powerful. The one is metaphysics, and metaphysics is not entirely excluded as long as it is true metaphysics.
Still mind knowing itself as ideas, isn't it?
Yes. Mind knowing itself either as mind or as mind's ideas. Yes. But mind knowing, ideas, and not we knowing or thinking about ideas. Yes. I don't know if you have also heard that criticism against my teaching, that because I make this, I have taken up John Dolly's line and his teaching, that the critics say, but what Mrs. Eddy teaches is metaphysics. She calls it metaphysics. No, it's not true. Mrs. Eddy makes very clear a distinction between metaphysics, ordinary metaphysics, and her metaphysics, which is divine metaphysics, and divine metaphysics. Because she has very strong statements in her textbook where, for instance, she says that many books are written about mind and mind healing, But all these books on metaphysics leave the grand point untouched. They never crown the divine mind as the Messiah. See? In ordinary metaphysics, you don't crown the divine mind as that which brings a better experience. In metaphysics, you crown your thinking, your positive thinking, as the Messiah, as that which should help us. And you look around into all the various fields of metaphysics today, it's the science of mind, the science of religious science, and so on and so on and so on. They are all on a metaphysical line. They all think positively. The power of positive thinking, and so on. And it's all metaphysics, and they all have effects, and good effects. But that's not Mrs. Eddy's teaching. Mrs. Eddy's teaching is that we crown the divine mind as our Messiah. And then that science includes metaphysics. But that is divine metaphysics that is included. Because it's metaphysics. Metaphysics is that which is above physics. Naturally, if we go out from the divine mind, we certainly are above matter. That's certainly above matter. That's certainly metaphysics. But it's metaphysics that is coined, that is molded, shaped by the divine mind, and not by a higher human mind, and by thinking along positively with our own mind. So if you go through, take up all the references on metaphysics in the textbook and study them, you will see how quite often she uses metaphysics in a negative way or in an insufficient, as something that is insufficient. And that only when we come really to divine metaphysics and scientific metaphysics, to mind metaphysics, the divine mind metaphysics, then we have the science of metaphysics. So there are graduations in the term. We just can't play with a word. We have to see how she uses that term. All right. So we have seen here with mind that difference. Yeah. You see, in metaphysics, man is the thinker. Man is the thinker. We think. Give me a good thought. My practitioner has a very strong thought. These are the wordings you get. If you meet somebody who just is very much impressed that her practitioner has a very strong thought, be careful, huh? Be careful. I wouldn't like to have a practitioner with a very strong thought. That's mesmerism, huh? That's really metaphysics as mesmerism. Mesmerism is also metaphysics. So a strong thought is willpower, is human power, is the power of thought, no matter if that person entertains very good thoughts. But the belief that thoughts have power is not science. What is the fact about that? Science? Mind? Mind has power, huh? Mind alone has power. Not thoughts have power. Mind has power. It's the power of mind in science. And that mind knows with power, huh? Instead of the practitioner or man having a strong, a powerful thought. Man, powerful thought, you turn it around, mind, powerful ideas, powerful knowing. And then you have science. Is that clear? Huh? Or we have as a characteristic of mind, for instance, seeking. Is this characteristic a scientific idea or a metaphysical idea? That came quickly, huh? Yeah. And you can value it. Why is it metaphysics and not science? What?
With thinking or a higher sense.
Yeah. Could we imagine that mind is seeking?
Mind is all
knowing. You see? Mind is all-knowing, huh? So we feel that seeking is something very positive. Seek ye God. We must be a seeker for truth. Who seekers will find. So we give a very positive quality to seeking. And that's right. We should seek. But we must be aware that this is only the metaphysical approach. And if we...
It's outside of being, doesn't it? It still puts us outside.
Yes, it puts us outside of being. You see, it says, I do not know, but if I seek, I may know. So you have a duality. You have a big duality. Can you see how dualism is not just the dualism of spirit and matter, that there are many forms of dualism, which we may not be aware of. Well, perhaps if I have time, one... Here I would like to show you, say in a seminar, how Mrs. Eddy takes up in every chapter of the textbook, every time a different sense of dualism. Every chapter has a completely different sense of dualism. It's not always a dualism of opposites, of spirit and matter and truth and error and life and death. This is just a simplification. There are much deeper meanings of dualism that are at work, and actually when one reads the textbook, just with that tonality of listening to the kind of dualism, you find that each chapter presents us with a different kind of dualism. Wonderful. Quite terrific. And makes us aware of how dualistic we still are. Here you have one example, seeking, huh? That there is seeker, like in chapter on prayer, that there is a seeker and there is a finder. That's dualism. that only through seeking we find is still dualistic. It's a nice sense of dualism, but it's still dualism. Whereas in the oneness of mind, there is no seeking. There's just that wonderful sense of knowing, of what would be the science standpoint for seeking the truth. Mind knowing the truth, or giving the truth, or imparting the truth. We go right out from giving, from finding, from giving. That's why there is an old saying that we wouldn't seek if we would not have found before. It states itself a bit different. I think it's from Victor Hugo. Is it from Victor Hugo? I think so. That says that... Pascal. Yeah, thank you. That says we couldn't seek if we would not have found in the first place. See, metaphysics only operates because there is the facts of science there. You see that, for instance, very, very beautiful. You have as a quality of mind, you have, for instance, desire. Prayer is desire. Desire is prayer. And it's a prayer of mind. What would be the fact about desire? Manifests, yes. You see, for instance, when you look up, you have on the very first page of the textbook, desire is prayer. And that desire hardly is dealt with anymore until the last chapter, where Mrs. Eddy says that God will lead all right desires. You suddenly see, it's not that we should desire, that's metaphysical, it's good, but that we should see that because there is mind, that mind wells up in us desire. The finding is the first in science, and then comes the seeking. Yes. Well, we have to stop here, and we go on this afternoon and trying to find this difference between metaphysics and science. Thank you.